It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 19th day of November 2020. This is The Horn, HeadOn.live. Is, as it always is, where you go if you want to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Just a general note. Never click install now on a mobile device that you actually use on the air 5 minutes before airtime. It's not a good idea. It appears that the trusty Horn Studio iPad will probably spend the better part of the program installing updates because, I don't know, mental lapse or something. Hi, I'm Bob. And every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude because we don't have any ads for buying gold or vacuum cleaners or radios or steel buildings or wood floors made out of the gutted forests of Southeast Asia. No, we don't. We don't have any of that. What we have is a committed community of people who like to have the program on hand and appreciate not being turned over to the tender mercies of the people who sell, you know, super beats and shit. So thanks go out to our 19th of the month subscribers. That would be thanks to Sharon and thanks to Clayton and thanks to Cecilia. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. And thanks to thanks for the kind response to Joey's and Giraffe's Wild Wonderful West Virginia Challenge. Thank you very kindly. So the fundraising goal for the evening is $635. And hopefully we knock down, golly, enough of that so that we're not finishing the week, you know, trying to raise $935 tomorrow. God, I can't even stand the thought of that, but yeah, we got $635 to raise. Thank you. And thanks to all the well wishes for Ferg. He's getting treatment and he's getting help and they're adjusting medications and all the things that they do. And right now the plan is for him to be home Monday ish. So that, and, by the way, Rico caught up with the podcast overnight. Subject line, you should have slugged him. Listening to Wednesday's podcast and listening to your account with the maggot in the gas station. Now, I'm not a violent person whatsoever, but I wouldn't have blamed you if you'd blasted the ignoramus right in the middle of his face. My God, these people are murderers. Thank you. Signed, Rico. Ready to fight in DeBerg. Don't get into it with somebody from DeBerg. No, don't do it. But I understand the sentiment, but the problem with slugging him in the schnoz was that I would have been closer to him then than I wanted to be when he was sticking out his tobacco crumb covered tongue and coughing at me. So, I understand the sentiment. Believe me, I really, really do. Thanks, Rico. Thanks kindly. Here we are at Thorn in the Side Thursday, and this is kind of a special Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I'll get to that in a minute, but I had some lovely note. I had a lovely note from our pal Tamara, who talking about what I was saying about what we're going through here. I may have told you the one time I called the program that I went through something similar with a loved one recently. The costs, physical, emotional, and yes, financial, are rough. Without good support, a family addiction can break you. Anyway, love to you all. And to the Horn family, too. That's Tamara. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you so very much. And Bob! Stock story. Dolly Parton has donated $1 million toward the funding of one of the latest vaccines. Apparently, this gave Trump a great idea. Since he loves Dolly Parton, he's going to make a hefty donation toward a vaccine in New York in hopes that the Southern District will grant him a, well, wait for it, grant him a... Oh, Jesus. A Parton. Joey! What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey explains, the court will probably grant him a dolly, all right, the kind of dolly that'll help carry all of his shit out of the White House. Leave it to Giraffrey to stay abreast of all the dollyards in the White House. I don't know if we're going to make it through this one. The punning is thick and repulsive. On this day in 1942, during World War II, Russian forces launched their winter offensive against the Germans along the Don Front. That's a river, you know. Oh, hallelujah. The update is done. Along the Don Front. Today, the United States is Russian, R-U-S-H-E-N, to launch a vaccine to fend off the major affront that is the Dondemic before the scary offensive months of winter. Also on this day, in 1995, Polish President Lech Wałęsa lost his re-election bid. He blamed it on all the radical right-wing Poles in Poland. What's that, Jeffrey? Jeffrey explains Trump lost his re-election bid as well, and he blamed it on the Poles here also. Yeah, okay, Jeffrey. Oh, some of Giraffe's puns are getting a little long in the tooth, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Actually, there's a huge Polish population in Wayne County, Michigan, the home of Detroit, and that is the little landlocked city of Hamtramck. Yes, Hamtramck is considered a suburb of Detroit, but is completely surrounded by the city of Detroit, a very odd, unusual geographical configuration. However, the people that really cost Trump the election were also from Wayne County, where the village of Dearborn is home to more Muslim Americans than any other place in this country. Jeffrey hastens to point out, the only Muslims that Trump likes are in Saudi Arabia and give him orbs. Yeah, good one, Jeffrey. Speaking of Detroit and Dearborn, Michigan, on this day in 1959, Ford Motor Company halted production of the Thorn in the Side Edsel. Years later, Mrs. Samuel Alito would go on to wear the upholstery of a 1959 Edsel to the confirmation hearing of her barbaric husband, in which she would sniffle for the cameras because people were asking Sammy Bad Breath hard questions about, you know, his predilection for letting cops strip search little girls and saying that it was okay to shoot a fleeing black teenager in the back of the head, even though he had a gun, had no gun, and was 30 yards away from the cops. Well, Giraffrey tells the story of the Edsel.
Yes, as it turns out, my fellow animal friend, Mr. Ed the Horse, had stock in the Edsel, but just days before Ford ceased production of the Edsel, Mr. Ed sold his stock. You could say Mr. Ed engineered an Ed sell. We're going to have to do some. One of these days, I'm going to have a long talk with that giraffe. And as the legendary story goes, Mr. Ed loved trading on the market, and all horses love hay. Hence, Mr. Ed created his own hay market. Oh, brother. However, the SEC halted the hay market with concerns of the brokers breaking into a riot. Don't feel sorry for Mr. Ed, because even though he was not a show horse, he eventually landed his own show, with the irony being Mr. Ed was a talking horse without a talk show. Joey questions Giraffe. Now, Jeffrey, is that really how it happened? And Giraffe responds, that's my tall tale, and I'm sticking with it. It's not nearly as tall as his neck. This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, November the 19th, with Giraffe still sticking with the stock story. God, that may be one of the best and worst of Joey and Giraffe's work. Thanks, guys. So, like I said, it's rather a new and different kind of Thorn in the Side Thursday. We've never had like a themed Thorn in the Side Thursday around one personality. But this, nothing is normal now anymore, ever. And so consequently, this is our very first Rudy Giuliani Thorn in the Side Thursday. We begin with Rudy, who's been having not only legalistic but sartorial problems. There was an open mic problem recently in which there was live carriage of a press conference that featured Rudy to talk about all the really awful lawsuits that the MAGOT campaign has been taking. And there was a hot mic with the production team. In other words, not just, you know, it wasn't just the mic there that Rudy was yammering into. There was a mic for the, you know, for the campaign to say, and now here's our press conference, blah, blah. Little did they know, and I guess it's because they're not broadcast professionals. Little did they know that said production mic was hot. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know anything about that old production rule that says you always treat microphones and firearms the same way. Assume they're both loaded until you know otherwise. And so as a consequence, we got this.
Can they hear us on the stream? I guess not.
I don't think so, but that's kind of cool.
To the point of mathematical impossibility that 186,000 votes come in at once, all for Joe Biden. That's like flipping a coin 186,000 times and it lands on the
see fucking, fucking Rudy's hair dye dripping
that
down
does
his face.
Not happen. There is no reasonable explanation for the
Can they hear us on the stream? I guess not.
I don't think so, but that's kind of cool.
I love the millennial maggot upspeak. Get dudes. Can they hear us on the stream? I guess not. Look, you see fucking Rudy's hair dye dripping down on his face? That's not dummied up. That's something that actually happened. Jesus, God. It was bad. Among other things, he babbled and said, no, we got substantial evidence of voter fraud, and You know, Trump really won the election. That's what he did. He won it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He did that. He sure did. No, there's no doubt about it. That wasn't sketch comedy from some little-known, you know, Canadian comedy troupe. They've produced so many great ones, you know, Kids in the Hall, Whitest Kids You Know, Second City, SCTV, rather. I know Second City's in Chicago, but SCTV was purely Canadian. Hey, but no, that actually took place with Rudy there. And if you zoom in on him, the guys there in the control room running the stream with the open mic. You see Rudy's hair dye dripping down his fucking face? Mm-hmm. Well, it was true because it was. I mean, there were stripes of sort of shit-stained brown running down the side of Rudy's visage. And his recent behavior is a reminder to us all of what a monumental dick he was long before he became America's mayor. I didn't buy any of that bullshit. I didn't buy it on September 11th, 2001, because I had been watching his behavior well before that, going back to when he was the attention-seeking U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. Because now the district that he once ran, the district that he now seeks to protect Trump from. And among other things, it was his machinations inside the Manhattan FBI office that led in part to the shitty little bit of Republican rat fuckery against Hillary Clinton that went a long way toward turning the tide of the election. Maybe that's why he's able to say that he wants $20,000 a day from the Trump campaign for this high-quality lawyering. It's kind of gross. I can't tell, looking at the photo of him, whether those splotches on his head are, you know, age spots, what we used to call liver spots, or whether those are just individual dots of rancid hair dye. On his noggin, but that stripe running from his right sideburn down to the terminus of his right nasolabial fold is definitely running hair dye. Mm-hmm. Lee in New York wanting to know, hey, Bob, can hair coloring cause brain damage? I'm asking for a prior mayor. Hey, just about think. And the best part of it is Rudy sitting there sweating bullets and hair dye, and the perfectly made-up youngish woman behind him who is giving him, and you know, she's a maggot staffer, but my God, she's given him side eye that would send somebody in a way in a basket. Wow. But like I said, this is a multiple story, Rudy Thorn in the Side Thursday. Because we also have a further clip from that news conference in which, and God knows, I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. This happened.
Probably the closest they got is from here to the back of that room. We could do like a... did you all watch My Cousin Vinny? You know the movie? It's one of my favorite law movies because he comes from Brooklyn. And when the nice lady who said she saw, and then he says to her, how many fingers do I got up? And she says, three. Well, she was too far away to see it was only two. These people were further away than my cousin Vinny was from the witness. They couldn't see a thing. Now, I don't know. You're going to tell me that 60 people are lying? They didn't just tell me this. They swore under penalty of perjury, which is something no Democrat's ever done. You don't even ask Biden about this. you don't put him under penalty of perjury. He doesn't even get asked questions about it. He doesn't get asked questions about all the evidence of the crimes that he committed.
All the evidence of the crimes that he, Joe Biden, committed. Whew. At some point in time, the willingness of these pettifoggers, vexatious pettifoggers, I might add. Hi, Darlene. The willingness of these vexatious pettifoggers to hold a lighted match under their law degrees to see how close they can get it before the law degree catches fire and incinerates is going to catch up with them. All these crimes that Joe Biden committed, you know, that there are certain jurisdictions where even though Joe Biden is a public figure, one might want to take a run at the idea that that was a statement made with actual malice and utter disregard for the truth. You know, because it was. And just a general reminder, as a general rule, every state is different. I don't know how it is in New York or Washington, D.C. That's where the statement was made, Washington, D.C., allegations of criminal conduct are slander per se. When published, it becomes libel per se. But what we have here is a case of slander per se. And what that means is you don't have to prove damages. You can just go straight to the jury can just go straight to the penalty phase, and the foreman of the jury can write down the letter one and start writing zeros until her hand cramps. Granted, that's not a deeply detailed explanation, but it's a rough thumbnail. So the $20,000 a day lawyer is quoting my cousin Vinny, and yet somehow or another he never managed to mention, as Lee in New York pointed out, these two Utes. These two what, counselor? Obligatory Munsters reference coming from Lee in New York. Herman put on a ring with the Fugazi curse. When they found a Fugazi to remove the curse, he was the head of an automobile manufacturer. He cursed his competitors' cars. He filled their radios with his ads and such. When asked if he's ever cursed an entire car, he asked if they heard of the Edsel. With a back reference to Joey's journal today. The Fugazi curse. Please spare me. Ah, says Darlene in Connecticut. Rudy Caludi. I saw that today on Twitter. Thought it was great. I agree. Is gross enough as it is without his hair dye dripping down the side of his face. Yeah, this really, I mean, this was kind of the Rudy Giuliani version of the really, really yucky scene in Carrie. And I got to tell you that on the yucky scale, Rudy is yuckier. Give me Carrie any day of the week. Darlene says, I couldn't look at it for long. I'm literally getting an upset stomach from the still image I saw. It was just a split second, and that was enough for me. I'm traumatized now for life and can't unsee it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, but I didn't make you see it. I mean, I'm just describing it. I mean, it's like the other night when I mentioned, you know, Lindsey Graham and a Dirty Sanchez or a Rusty Trombone and Dave Number 11 couldn't leave well enough alone and went and looked it up and said, well, that'll show me. There's some things you don't want to do. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know about you, Bob, but I think not only does he have hair dye problems, he might want to check and see where his hands have been. Could it be possible that he was standing there having a Borat moment? To paraphrase Sasha Baron Cohen, Rudy, stop. The moment's too old for you. My brother-in-law and nephew have become victims of the goddamn it. My brother-in-law is a mail carrier. There goes Thanksgiving and possibly Christmas, fortunately. So far, his symptoms are mild. I hope they stay that way. I do, too. Signed, your buddy Dave and the blind. I'm not finding it funny, says Megan. Rudy Giuliani is looking like the incompetent fool that he is.
But what he, Kevin McCarthy, James Lankford, and others are hawking is deadly dangerous to this country. People are dying from COVID daily, and not only that, what's going to happen when the votes get certified? Once it becomes obvious Biden will become the next president of the United States, what do you think the maggots will do then? My mother called me at work today freaking out after the press conference because all her maggot co-workers were dead convinced that Trump won the election. I don't care to know what these delusional freaks will do once reality busts their beliefs. Yeah, I understand. It's not pleasant to contemplate, and it's hard to imagine we're going to get through this process without someone resorting to violence at some point in time. What we have left, then, is hope. Thank you, Jude, in the Great Northwest, for your kind thoughts. You all know I walk with all three of you in spirit. Spirit of women standing. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. Hair dye question. Well, I'm the wrong guy for that. But still, I guess it was just for men or greasy formula or something like that. Question on hair dye. Jack in Shreveport says, I think the hockey puck might be a good idea. Okay, hockey puck warning. I wanted to ask you and maybe take a survey the following. Which is overall more gross and will be more embarrassing and be remembered by more people in the Horn family, taking into account the type of event, the venue, and the person involved? Giuliani's sweaty hair dye podium debacle or Ted Cruz's booger debate performance, remembering he actually did LARP the booger? Oh, yeah. Well, if you ever go out searching for GIFs, and I mean, you can type in, like on Twitter, you can type in Ted Cruz booger, and there's lots of GIFs out there that show that little reptilian tongue of his going and LARPing the boog. Well, damn, we're 27 minutes into the program, and dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone is shot to hell, and probably Joy's breakfast, and God, I don't know what I've done in Australia. I can't forget the booger. God knows I've tried. But when you spend as many years as I have referring to him as Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, it doesn't go away real easy. Trey in Kentucky stances, I'm gagging! I understand. But Giuliani's head melting down on live TV may very well become, there's a possibility it could become more memorable than the booger LARPing. But the best part of all in this Rudy-centric thorn in the side Thursday, Suman says, I may have forgiven Giuliani for behaving like a fucking ghoul. I will never forgive him now for ruining my cousin Vinny forever. What a bastard. Yeah, that's very true. And that entitles you to a cowbell, Suman. Because every couple of years, whether I need to or not, I watch my cousin Vinny. Because it's one of those eternal classics. Marissa Tomei is lovely and delightful, and her comic timing is perfect, and Joe Pesci is, because we're so used to watching Joe Pesci, like from the role in Casino, you know, Vinny's a good guy. Rudy Giuliani is not a good guy. But it wasn't, I don't think it was intentional that Rudy Giuliani I don't think it was intentional that he had his own My Cousin Vinny moment. He went into court to argue the challenge to the election. This is a former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. And the court asked him a very basic question in a case like this. Because the court has to have a standard by which to review the evidence. He can't just make it up. She can't just make it up. In this case, it's a he. As he goes along. No. You know, there are standards of proof. There are standards of how you analyze the evidence. You know, there's things like preponderance of the evidence, beyond a reasonable doubt, clear and convincing. And in this case, it was a matter of how should the judge view the evidence in this particular pleading. And it was about as, and the thing is, my cousin Vinny is funny. This was just, you know, as was the case with his literal hair dye meltdown, just gross and disgusting and sad, I guess. This is what happens when the good election lawyers will not take your case. So the question, Mr. Giuliani, $20,000 a day lawyer for the president, what standard of review should the court use?
All right, good. I want to turn to the merits now. What standard of review should I apply and why? What standard of review should I apply in this case?
On a motion to dismiss? Well, I mean, I think the normal one, which is that you have to deem the factual allegations to be correct.
You got that? What standard of review should I apply? Diana, the normal one. You know, like when you're judging these two utes. The normal one, not the Abby normal one. Just use the normal standard of review, not your special standard of review with, like, the lace collar and shit. No, you just want your normal standard. The normal one. Everybody knows you use the normal one. Oh, yeah, you blend. Did you hear that? The normal one.
All right, good. I want to turn to the merits now. What standard of review should I apply and why?
Not a hard question. Yeah, presumptively, not a hard question. Almost any, say, third-year law clinic student would probably be have his or her hand up in class going, ooh, Mr. Cotta, pick me. I mean, this is enough of a slam dunk that, you know, you don't even want to try to bail out of it with, say, a letter from Epstein's mom. Ooh, my cousin Vinny, and welcome back, Cotter. I'm impressed. So, you know, no, really. What's the standard of review, Rudy?
All right, good. I want to turn to the merits now. What standard of review should I apply and why? What standard of review should I apply in this case?
On a motion to dismiss? Well, I mean, I think the normal one, which is that you have to deem the factual allegations to be correct. And even if they are correct, you have to find that there's no merit, no legal theory on which we can get relief. Well,
okay, see, yeah, here's the problem there. That ain't what the judge asked. No, it's definitely not. And if this had been taking place, and there's no small amount of irony in the fact that our buddy Lee in New York sent us a Munsters moment, because the incomparable Fred Gwynn also played the judge in My Cousin Vinny, you'll recall, and sent Vinny to jail on contempt on a couple of occasions, one for his sartorial choices, another for not saying guilty or not guilty, and instead trying to argue, well, no, I mean, you know, what you got to do, you got to look at the evidence, and, I mean, see if, like, there's any grounds by which we couldn't possibly get no relief. Hey. And it was just a bad day all around. You know, the normal one. The regular. Normal. Extra normal.
I deem the factual allegations to be correct. And even if they are correct, you have to find that there's no legal merit, no legal theory on which we can get relief.
Well, let me ask you, are you arguing then that strict scrutiny should apply here?
No, the normal scrutiny should apply.
The normal scrutiny, I done told you.
Yes, but this is not a fraud case.
Why don't Secretary Buchvars and the counties satisfy the standard?
And that one just kind of flew by. This is not a fraud case. You're alleging voter fraud, but somehow it's not a fraud case. Nah, it's regular scrutiny, you know, ordinary scrutiny. Not the scrutiny you pay extra for and have to leave more money on the nightstand. Just the regular scrutiny. I mean, you know, I'll just lean back on the bed and put my hand down my pants. That kind, yeah. Just a regular scrutiny, not strict scrutiny. I mean, there's not going to be any like boots or whips or anything involved.
Review that you're talking about. If it's not strict scrutiny and it's the standard review you're implying, why don't their actions satisfy this?
I'm sorry, I don't really understand the question.
I don't understand. What?
It's not strict scrutiny, and it's the standard review you're implying. Why don't their actions satisfy this?
I'm sorry, I don't really understand the question you're on.
Well, this is how I would look at it. I would think that it's a standard review of strict scrutiny. You're not sure that that's the case. I'm not imposing my...
Maybe I don't understand what you mean by strict...
Well, for strict scrutiny to...
Yeah, maybe I don't understand. Maybe that's not part of what the $20,000 a day pays for.
Why a fundamental right needs to be burdened, as I understand it. So how do the counties or Secretary Buchvar, on behalf of the Commonwealth, burden the plaintiff's right to vote? How do they burden the right to vote?
Based on... issuing these opinions that are confusing, ambiguous, in several instances contrary to the law.
I don't know how it is that Rudy could say that anything was contrary to the law when it's pretty obvious Rudy don't have the first fucking idea what the law is. That's just me. I mean, I'm just saying. Well, I got to be careful, or I'm going to turn into the Savage Wiener in a minute. Savage. Law professors all across the country, upon hearing that clip, paused the thing just like I did. And then they got up from wherever they were sitting in their ivory tower law school offices and walked over to the office door and turned the sign around that said the law professor is in to the law professor is not in. Closed the door, locked the door, bolted the door, went back to the desk, sat back down, pulled open that bottom drawer, and pulled out that
liter of old panther piss labeled in case of emergencies only. Reached up under the drawer to the bottom of the drawer above it and pulled and pulled the pack of Marlboro Reds that are taped there and marked for emergency only. Unscrewed the cap of the old panther piss, put the swirly straw in, lit up a pair of Marlboro Reds, took a big old drag, and a big old slug of the old panther, and said, he said, what?
Well, I mean, I think the normal one, which is that you...
Yeah, they said it, the normal one. And he picks up the phone, the law professor does, and he dials an extension. And he goes, hey, Sheila, come down here. Calling his pal, the evidence professor. No, you got to hear this. No, I got the old panther piss out, and I got the pack of Marlboros. No, you don't have to bring anything. Just come on, just use the knock. I'll let you in. And so Professor Sheila comes down. He unlocks and unbolts the door. Meets her with a burning Marlboro, and there's no need for formalities. There's no glasses, just the straw and the liquor bottle, and says, "No, you got to hear this."
This case on a motion to dismiss. Well, I mean, I think the normal one, which is that you.
And law professor Sheila goes, "Hold on, you got to call Ethan." And the next thing you know, you've got an entire law school faculty party, and they're lit out of their minds, looking at each other, going, "No, the normal one." It's right up there with the bartender and It's a Wonderful Life saying, "Get me, I'm giving out wings." And that probably happened in law schools from the University of Virginia all the way to Stanford. Woof. What's that? Lee in New York's old Marlboro Reds. I just want to confirm that you're continuing your smoke-free success. Yes, and I don't even have a pack of Marlboro Reds taped to the underside of the drawer. I don't open the drawer because, for all I know, Sam the Studio Serpent might have taken up residence in there. So this is day 66 of Bob Kincaid, Man Without a Cigarette. Yep. So no, we're good, but it's probably not so good in the faculty lounges of law schools all across this country. The normal one! Huh? I mean, really? A little piss ant prosecutor in a teeny tiny little barely populated county in the middle of freaking Texas wouldn't answer it. What's that? Yeah, what, Judge? Standard of review. The normal one. The my cousin Vinny one. That one. Brother Deacon Asa says, regarding regular scrutiny, let's face it, Bob, you can't get the super deluxe scrutiny if you opt for the low budget $20,000 a day lawyer, and that's true. Yeah, come on, let's go upstairs. I'll scrutinize you. Cowbell for low budget $20,000 a day lawyer. I shouldn't laugh. The well-being of the Republic is at stake. It shouldn't be funny. But it is. It is. Oh, sorry, Darcy. Darcy says, dinner's gone in Lansing. Thanks, guys. I hope it wasn't anything special. No. Or anything that could, run in rivulets. Ew.
This, says Steve in New York, several were contrary to the law. So at best, several, 11 by 12, or 11 times 12, were contrary to the law. Okay, great. Give Trump those 132 votes. Done. Biden still wins.
Oh, my country. My daughters, my ducats. Oh. Yeah.
Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, Bob, it's not dinner time here in the Great Northwest. It's late lunch. Ruined that, too. It's just the danger of the program, the inherent dangers of the program. Megan reminds us, as if you didn't need enough reasons to make fun of Ted Cruz actually gave a TED Talk. He stood in front of a sign that was supposed to be a combination of Cher and Ted. The S-H-A-R and the T-E-D were too close together, so the sign read, Sharted. And we all know what sharted means. And dinner is in grave danger all across the fruited plain at this point. Sharted. Thank you. Thank you, Megan. Sharted. And Brother Deacon Asa agrees. This is Rudy's booger LARPing moment. And while we're comparing moments, let's remember that while we haven't had a themed Thorn in the Side Thursday before as the self-styled horn historian, I'd like to remind everyone that the first ever themed Moran Monday belongs to one Mr. Ted Cruz. You're welcome. I didn't realize that. And in fact, yes, Brother Deacon Asa is the self-styled horn historian. I think he's heard every program, all 15 years of them. John, bringing us back to some semblance of seriousness in professional broadcasting. I'm scared, man. They really are trying to stage a coup. I knew they wanted a dictatorship, but holy fuck, they're doing it in plain sight. And to be honest, I'm starting to doubt Biden will ever get sworn in. I know I'm a bit of a pessimist, but someone had to be on the lookout for it. And just as a side note, I think Lindsey Graham and Addison McConnell need to need the Preston Brooks treatment, if you catch my drift. I hate these cretins. I know. I'm not letting myself... I mean, I know what the mechanisms are, John. But I'm not going to let myself think that we are so far down the rabbit hole that we're going to let that happen. They tried to stage their little two-person coup in Michigan, in Wayne County, and it didn't fly. So we can take something resembling solace in that. No idea why we're having internet blips, but we are. That's the curse of broadcasting on the interweb tubes. Hopefully they will not become legion. Matt in San Francisco says, if only he was representing a different client, I would gladly step into I would gladly step into wax on poetically about nothing for a mere $15,000 a day. Yeah, I got it. That took me a minute to sort out the syntax there. Sorry, Matt. If only Giuliani was representing a different client, I would gladly step into wax poetically about nothing for a mere $15,000 a day. Sure. Look at how much fun we're having right here, just trying to raise $635. You see? Yeah. Bob ruining dinner. Lee in New York says, the listeners order takeout. Bob ruins dinner. It becomes throwout. Oh, that's the nice thing about takeout. You know, it's meant to be reheated. Just let the nightmare pass. And with this being a special Rudy Giuliani
edition of Thorn in the Side Thursday, well, we have Rocky Mountain Mike, who, of course, is a sure enough, no kidding, genius. Couple skate.
Begin with Cohen, Ty Cobb, and Jay Sekulo. While the feds get closer every night. Bitching and moaning and tweeting and groaning. A new lawyer will make things right.
Whoa, Julie, 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 Giuliani. Giuliani, why are you still there? Don't you know the president's a commie? Giuliani, we don't really care. Oh, Julie, 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 Giuliani. Giuliani, why are you still there? Don't you know?
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Mike never disappoints. Thanks to Randy Radar for bringing that to our attention, because that's special. Hey, thanks, Ralphs. Ralphs wants to get things going this evening. Ralphs says I got $10 to throw in, and I'll make it 10 more if somebody will answer the $10. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. That's huge. And thank you to Jude of Women's Standing. Thank you very kindly. That takes us down to 625 and constitutes a match to Ralphs' offer, which takes us down to 605. So thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Jude. And Darlene said, ooh, I didn't realize we were that deep in the hole. Got a couple of checks this week. My biz has taken a hit from the COVID, too, so I can contribute. So there's a $100 challenge courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut. Every dollar that comes in for the next $100 gets doubled courtesy of Darlene. But it has to come in first. So thank you very kindly, Darlene, and thank you, Ralphs. That'll be a tremendous help. I can't begin to tell you. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Hopefully we'll knock that down. It'd be nice to knock that down, like, say, before the top of the hour, but that's 7 minutes to knock down $100. I don't know if we can do that. But it would be lovely to try. Thank you, Jude. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Ralphs. And let's see how much further we can chase the wolf off the porch. So I guess that concludes our Rudy Giuliani portion of the program. Except to say that in advance of the Rudy Giuliani road company version of Kerry, Nitwit Nero was trying to put forward some PR for it. He tweeted today, important news conference. That's with a capital I, a capital N, and a capital C. You know, there's a day coming when we won't have to see this kind of grammatical torment on Twitter anymore. Quite possibly, if the folks at Twitter are to be believed, once he becomes just another ordinary asshole on Twitter, he'll probably get thrown off, and he can go to Parler, where apparently older, cranky, maggot Americans are having a hard time logging in and throwing a fit at Parler, saying, you can't tell me I got to have no... I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. Apparently, you have to use a special character, and, you know, that doesn't mean Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. You have to use a special character in your password
Now, you and I know that that means, you know, the at symbol or the hash symbol or the exclamation point or the question mark or the percent symbol, asterisk, parenthesis. We know that. But the maggots don't, especially the silver maggots. Now, doesn't that just sound like a like the world's worst Beatles tribute band? The silver maggots are having a hard time with that whole special character thing. And they were posting pissed off rants at Parler, saying, "I want to have the freedom. I want to have the freedom to have whatever my password be, whatever I want my password to be, and I don't need no special character. That's America." True. And truly hilarious. Whoa, thank you, Colin. I think that's the fastest a challenge has ever been met. Darlene's challenge has been met. So that means we're down to 405 to come up even with the end of the week. Thank you, Colin. Thank you very, very much. That's amazing. David in South Carolina, Stan, and I understand this sentiment. "I took time away from news to watch my cousin Vinny today. No matter how many times I've watched it, it's still fun to watch. It's on Prime Video." Oh, really? Cool. I was surprised to find out that broadcast news is available free to watch on Prime right now. So I got a feeling Agnes and I may be watching my cousin Vinny. We only watched it a few weeks ago, but like I said, it never gets old. When the whistle goes off at the mill, Joe Pesci pops up out of bed like the whistle went off underneath him. And running out. Oh, I don't want to. I assume everybody's seen it. Running out into the dark. To shoot the night noises in rural Alabama. That, by the way, was shot in Georgia because, you know. It's just like the number of people who think that Deliverance was about West Virginia. No, babies, that's Georgia. That's Georgia. And, you know, you can ask Steve from Georgia, Stan. He'll tell you, no, we got those folks down here. And ding, 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 ding. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth now has us down under the $400 mark. That's fantastic. $300. $380 to go. Oh, and I made a mistake. I didn't get the note on that. So Colin answered Darlene's challenge with his own challenge. And so we will consider $25 of that challenge met via Elizabeth. So there's $75 to go on that challenge. And that'll get us down into the under one day's worth of programming to go territory. Thank you. Okay. My bad. Appreciate it. So Colin's challenge is on the table. Please don't make Colin rescind it. There's $75 to go on that. And, you know, we've got a little bit of time, but the sooner the better. But Bob, says Megan, those silver maggots, they are special characters. Burp. What? Why should they have one in their password? Yeah, I know. I know. I know. By the way, some of y'all asked me to check in with Ed Rabel to try to get him back on the program, and I did send him a note asking him to join the conversation. And by the way, $20,000 a day lawyering. Arnold in PA, who wanted to make sure I was going to be live earlier, said
I just wanted to know because he said, I'll be working in the shop, and I'm always happy when you guys are live. That just warmed my heart. And Arnold, with a sort of soliloquy by text message, what a bunch of assholes. Jesus Christ, fuck it, we're getting drunk now. Is that Beavis and Butthead went to Emerson? The people that we know in the mob, which doesn't exist, of course, we're taking bets on how long he before he would have been killed. It's a wonder he's still alive, honestly. What he did to the fish market and organized crime in the tri-state area in general, I can't believe he's still alive. And talking about Rudy, and there's footage of him on 9/11 instead of America's lawyer. It should be America's bitch man. Arnold says, yeah, she reminded me of my ex-wife. I don't know who. I'm so glad you're talking about this press conference. He kept wiping his face. 35 million people think these people are intelligent. God help us. And Arnold, well, Arnold's Arnold and says, it's a good movie. I mean, the legs alone, for God's sakes. The audio you're playing is the greatest thing I've ever heard. the normal one. And a meme of the count from Sesame Street. I pissed away my immortality counting things. That was my passion. Goddamn numbers. How many years did I waste? 500? 501? 502? Fuck me. Oh, sometimes it hurts. Important news conference today by lawyers on a very clear and viable path to victory. Pieces are very nicely falling into place. RNC at 12 p.m. And that's before the tech crew said, Jesus Christ, do you see the hair dye running down Giuliani's face? I wonder if they tuned into it, into the live RNC feed for Nitwit Nero. He couldn't find it with a GPS in both hands. He's one of those silver maggots. Ah, thank you, Colin. I was mispronouncing that all along. My sincere apologies. I had a 50-50 chance of getting that right, and. You know how the lady earlier, while Rudy's face was melting, was saying,
"Now they're just being 186,000 votes for Joe Biden is like flipping a coin 186,000 times and it all coming up."
Well, it can happen, lady. That's the way it works with statistics. You've obviously never seen Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Heads. So thank you, Colin, and a nice response to Colin. As a thank you to Colin, Darlene says, I'll match $50 of his challenge, so I'll contribute $150. And I loved it when Vinny said, this is Ella fucking Bammy. So do grits cook differently in your kitchen than everywhere else in the known universe? How long does it take you to cook a grit? Do you make instant grits?
No self-respecting Southerner would ever use instant grits.
Wait, that was almost Hank Hill. I knew this was going to be a very special thorn in the side Thursday. When you've got the intersection of Herman Munster, my cousin Vinny, Rudy Giuliani, a commercial for... And by the way, you know, the law professors that are drunk now, so are the folks in the ad department at Just for Men and Grecian Formula, probably on the phone to each other going, that was your shit, wasn't it? Our shit doesn't run. No, our shit doesn't run. Your shit runs. Oh, please, Jesus, don't anybody ask him what he uses. Yeah, listen, if he names either one of us, we'll claim he used the Walmart brand. Got it. So, thank you to Don. Don just became a new subscriber. And by the way, with that,
We have fulfilled Zed's November new subscriber challenge. You didn't know it, but Don, your new subscription just got tripled because it got doubled by Colin, and then it got doubled again by our pal Zed with his November new subscriber challenge. Look at you. How about that? That is stretching a dollar. Thank you. Thank you, Don. And so that means that both challenges are met. So that's one, two. Little cross-eyed here. Yeah, we're down to like the, all the way down to the 300, below the $300 mark. I think we're down to like 280, which is huge. Tremendous. Thank you all. 280 and we're even all the way up to the end of the evening, and bang, tomorrow won't require that huge of a Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle. And the parade of, I love these moments because we find out everybody's favorite scene. Subject line, mud. How about Pesci flopping around in the red mud? Fred Gwynn was so great in that role. Marissa Tomei was great, too. Well, she won an Academy Award. It made me miss New York City, even though I've just been a visitor. No, not Gallo. Callow. You were looking for the wrong guy. And David tells us, now that Candace is considering law school, I'm sending her a link to My Cousin Vinny. Oh, yeah, do please. That's good. That's a great idea. Other great lawyer movies. I mean, there's always Inherit the Wind, but that's too inspiring. Yeah, that's 12 Angry Men, not exactly a 12 Angry People now. That's not exactly a lawyering movie, but it's got good insights. Funny lawyer movies. Funny lawyer movies. Is My Cousin Vinny the funniest lawyer movie of all time? Usually I can call something to mind. This is where Dan Fisher would come in handy. Actual Malice. That's Paul Newman. That's a good one. And from the political end of lawyering, the classic Advise and Consent. Candace might enjoy that one too. Oh, yeah, you blend. Albert says, Bob, a province in Australia has implemented an extra strong lockdown. You can't even take your dog for a walk in a park. Robert in Australia was telling us about South Australia locking down hard. I think you and Robert might be talking about the same thing, Albert. There. Oh, dear God. The ultimate. I think this may be the ultimate reference for Rudy. I went with Carrie, but I didn't have the cultural heft. Jimmy has made it all work. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, man, it was looking like Jerry Curl juice running down his face. I don't know if Tracy's listening, but if she is, she's going, yes. And, David adds, you know, if Giuliani had red hair dye, he would have looked like Crown of Thorns Jesus with blood streaming down his face. Yeah. I think we would have paid for that. But does greasy formula or just for skeevy old men make red? I think it's only like brown and black. Because of my hair color, that's why I never used it. That and the fact that just, no. Yeah, thank you, Don. Don says, I forgot to add subscription challenge every month. No, just for the first month. But Don says, luck and good wishes to Ferg. Thank you. Thank you. And that's like something Jude said. Good things still do happen to good people, Bob. A simple mantra. Good things still do happen to good people. Enjoying the interchanges from everybody. Peace, Jude. Thank you, Jude. Good things do happen to good people. We're hoping good things are going to happen for Ferg. And you know what? Laughter has its own healing quality as well, especially the like what we got going on this evening. Let's see. There you go. Another great lawyering movie, and add this to the list for Candace, David. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but Randy Radar points out the name of the so-called dumb blonde lawyer girl movie, because she proves herself not to be a dumb blonde by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, Legally Blonde. That's a great one. Good call, Randy. That's a dandy. And didn't it go on to be turned into a broad... Everything gets, sooner or later, before the Dondemic struck, everything had been turned into a Broadway musical. It's a big dollar, I guess. Want a spooky lawyer movie, says Megan? Try Imprint. It features a Native American cast and director. I've never even heard of that. That goes on the list. Spooky, though? I mean, it's not creepy like, you know, chainsaws and all of that. And I can take suspense. I can watch, the ultimate lawyer movie. There, of course. Witness for the Prosecution. Charles Laughton. Mercedes Cambridge, maybe. Who plays, is it Rayma Land that plays the accused? I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about Mercedes Cambridge, but my God, that's a great, great lawyer movie. British lawyer movie, which means there's funny hair pieces, too. Coifs, by the way. Not funny hair pieces, Bob. Coifs. Wow, this went places I didn't know we were going to go. Yeah, when Nitwit Nero put out his tweet about the important news conference by lawyers, didn't even mention Rudy by name. Some wag answered, same place as last time, hashtag Four Seasons Total Landscaping. So I understand what John in PA was getting at. It is scary. But God, when George W. Bush stole the election, he did so with some of the most high-powered legal talent the country has to offer. This ain't that. This is a collection of hard up solo practitioners who took this because a bad divorce hadn't come in that day. So just kind of bear that in mind, and try to breathe, and it's also it's okay to. It's okay to laugh. Okay, so Imprint is a thriller, says Megan. It's featured on Amazon Prime. I'll have to check that out. I really will.
you know, the conspiracy is real. In answer to what John said, and I've got a story here. Steve from Georgia Stan said, subject line, Georgia. A Georgia boy once told me, Ma married her cousin, but it never bothered me none. I got it. He didn't make that up. He did not make that up. And Steve adds, lawyer movies, we would be remiss if we didn't mention The Devil's Advocate and The Firm. True. Not that big a fan of The Firm, but The Devil's Advocate's good. I mean, Al Pacino is the devil. Sure. I remember watching that back in the 90s when we lived in the drafty old farmhouse far out in the country. Clarence, subject line, Giuliani legacy. Bob, he was the guy who took down the Gotti crime family. Now he's protecting the Trump crime family. We truly do live in a strange time. Yeah, we do. And I will forever wonder if the reason he went after the Gottis, that was the Gambino crime family, wasn't it? And again, was that a subtle back reference? Because wasn't that one of the character names in My Cousin Vinny? Or something similar? But I always wonder if Rudy did that at the behest of, you know, some other, because anytime a crime family gets taken down, again, it's the Arafat rule. Something else has to come in to fill the vacuum. And it's usually worse than what you got rid of. Not saying it's going to work, but James in Illinois adds, the reason they think the steal might work this time, guess who packed the courts? Yeah, and they've admitted as much. Absolutely. That's absolutely true, James. They've said out loud, Giuliani in particular has, you know, when his face wasn't melting. You know, usually I have to take some pretty high-powered psychedelics in order to make that happen. Today it was just like, it was just a matter of watching TV. You're going, really? Flashbacks from 1982? His face is melting. Quit that. You know, you run your hand in front of your face to make sure you're not getting tracers. Nope. That's not a flashback. And justice for all, Dave and the Blind reminds us, and justice for all. And the hurricane. Not so much a lawyer movie, but the fact that a young kid and his lawyer parents in Canada helped Hurricane Carter get off a life sentence. Two good calls. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Ghouls die. courtesy of David in South Carolina, Stan, a graphic. Classic high voltage Tish and Snooki's Manic Panic, New York City semi-permanent hair color cream. In Vampire Red, yours for just $13.99 on Amazon. Let's don't and say we didn't. According to Reuters, they published a story in which multiple officials from the MAGOT campaign said that what he's trying to do, Nitwit Nero, is to connive state legislatures into doing what voters didn't and just declaring him the winner. If you want to see the article, it was published today, 19th, Reuters.com. Trump's election power play, persuade Republican legislators to do what U.S. voters did not. Dateline Detroit. President Donald Trump's strategy for retaining power despite losing the U.S. election is focused increasingly on persuading Republican legislators to intervene on his behalf in battleground states Democrat Joe Biden won. Three people familiar with the effort said. For instance, COVID Caligula has summoned the Speaker of the Michigan House, Republican Lee Chatfield, and the Senate Majority Leader, Mike Shirky. They'll both be at the White House tomorrow for a little glad-handing, back-slapping, and arm-twisting. Reuters noting, in an effort to engage in some civic instruction, typically a state certifies a slate of electors based on which candidate won the popular vote, as Biden did in Michigan and Pennsylvania. And states have until December the 8th to meet a safe harbor deadline for resolving election disputes and choosing the electors who will select the president. The electors will then convene as a so-called electoral college on December 14th to formally select the next president who will take office on January 20th. And Trump's lawyers are seeking to take the power of appointing electors away from the governors and secretaries of state and giving it to friendly state lawmakers from his party, claiming that it's in the Constitution that the legislatures can take the power away and be the ultimate authority. So they've got to make up some, let's see, they got to make up some 38 votes to get Trump to 270, which means that they would have to take them away from Joe Biden. And if he was to get Michigan and Pennsylvania, he'd still be down 270 to 268. So he's got to get either Arizona, Nevada, or Georgia. And what they're trying to do is muddy the waters. A senior Trump campaign official told Reuters its plan is to cast enough doubt on vote counting in big Democratic cities that Republican lawmakers will have little choice but to intercede. That's kind of some bullshit language there, little choice. There should be no choice, because any doubt cast will be bullshit doubt. But the problem is you're dealing with the American people, and according to an opinion poll conducted by Reuters and Ipsos, they report the Trump campaign had succeeded in stirring doubt, however unfounded, about the presidential election. The survey found that about half of Republicans think Trump rightfully won the election that he damned well lost. Now, today they dropped their federal lawsuit in Michigan based on affidavits from Wayne County officials. One of those affidavits said that in Wayne County they had serious process flaws which deserve investigation. That was Monica Palmer, a member of the Wayne County Board of Canvassers. And again, here's the question. This is not a matter of less than 500 ballots and butterfly ballots and hanging chads in Florida. This is an ass-kicking, at least according to the merits of the definition applied by Corona Caligula. Because, you know, he spent 4 years saying that a 306 electoral vote total was a landslide. It was definitely a landslide. It was huge. We're talking about tens of thousands of votes across multiple states. And again, not 500 in Florida. So, according to Rick Hazen, who's an election law expert at the University of California, Irvine, interviewed by Reuters, he said, "This is a dangerous, though almost certainly ineffective attempt to thwart the will of the voters or to delegitimize a Biden presidency based upon false claims of a stolen election. And even in the worst case scenario, at least as far as the maggots are concerned, what they're doing is trying to set up a situation whereby they delegitimize the presidency of Joe Biden. And from a civic standpoint, I can only say that this is a sickening, sickening development. Because what they're trying to do is make sure that they hasten the end of whatever remains of the notion that the United States of America is a republic that operates on democratic principles. They literally would sacrifice the future of the United States for the ego of an intellectually bereft, damaged criminal. Remember, it was like Giuliani saying, you know, all of Joe Biden's crimes. They always project whatever it is Donald Trump has done, they accuse and ascribe to someone else. And that's exactly what's going on here. And so we've got several dates to look at. The 14th of December being one of them, the December the 8th, the safe harbor. The Secretary of State of Georgia, by the way, is now sending out absentee ballots. You can still request one if you want and you live in Georgia. There will be early voting of one degree or another. And then, of course, Election Day itself is January the 5th, 2021, for the special election between Kelly Attila the Hun Loeffler and Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff and David Chicken Perdue. There's a hell of a lot of organizing going on in Georgia. Students are organizing. The African-American activist community is organizing for all they're worth. And in fact, they're not organizing, they're mobilizing. And we've talked about the difference between that. Organizing is what you do when you got a little time to work with. Mobilizing is what you do when the wolf is at the door. They're mobilizing. And as I saw pointed out somewhere, the Georgia Republican Party is in a kind of a pickle because they're pitching Attila the Hun Loeffler and David Chicken Perdue as a firewall against them socialists like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and that AOC and the squad and all them socialist Zoroastrian Rosicrucians. But when they talk about the Senate as a firewall, they are by definition conceding that Nitwit Nero lost. And while that's absolutely true, it is a dangerous degree of disloyalty if you're a Republican. You can't say out loud that he lost. That's why almost the entirety of the Republican caucus in the Congress cannot do the simple, decent thing and just congratulate Joe Biden. Instead, they're sneaking around like little seventh graders. You know how it works. Well, you know, I can't say that I like him, but, you know, you can go tell him I like him. Will you tell him I like him? Don't say I like him a lot or anything, but I like him. And Republicans are actually doing that. Republicans who have Democrats who will speak to them
are going up and saying, no, really,
I know Joe. He's a decent feller. You tell him Jim Bob said congratulations. He'll understand. I just can't say it out loud. You know, it's like the old lady in Blazing Saddles. I'm sorry about the up yours, but you'll understand if I don't speak to you on the street.
Sooner or later, everything this bunch of foot pads and cut purses and sneak thieves and highwaymen and ditch jumpers, lick spittles, toadies, and boot laps, everything they do, it seems like it comes out of the screenplay of an old movie that used to be funny, but isn't when it's reality. I mean, nobody would actually want to live in the town there that Sheriff Bart was sent to sheriff in. I mean, I guess it was okay to begin with. It seemed to have a surfeit of Johnsons. But for the most part, it was a, you know, racist shithole. And the maggots have done a fairly decent job of turning the entire country that way. David in South Carolina reminds us thousands of votes were tossed in due to signatures not matching in South Carolina stand. These were in, of course, predominantly black precincts. And that, as I noted last night, is why Lindsey Graham guzzled a margarita and threw down a Darvon and called the Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, and tried to arm twist him into disenfranchising some black folks in Georgia, just like they done did in South Carolina. And, of course, because we have no Department of Justice, nothing will ever be done about the dirty business that took place in South Carolina for the sole purpose of saving the hide of the worthless Lindsey Graham. So much winning, says Suman. Maricopa County, Arizona judge tosses out Arizona GOP lawsuit. There goes another one. A Maricopa County judge has rejected a lawsuit from the Arizona Republican Party, which was requesting a new voter audit in the county. Bob, do you really think any of these cases will go to the Supreme Court? No. I mean, maybe one or two. But ultimately, the goal, as Reuters has found out from people inside the MAGA administration, the goal is to create enough butthurt to get maggot legislatures to supersede the will of the people and put up their own slate of maggot electors. But this then becomes the next question. What happens if they do that? If they steal the election, do the American people who have just had the election stolen from them, do the American people sit still for it? Because this wasn't particularly close. And is that why there's a moat and an
unscalable fence
outside the or around the White House now? Is that it? I don't know. But remember that the AFL-CIO recently said, and the subtext to it was, fuck Taft-Hartley. There will be a general strike if they pull a stunt like that. And here's where it gets more complicated. I was talking with Boss Man Wayne the other day. And we were talking about the vote totals here in West Virginia.
And there is no more devoted, no better labor advocate in this state than Boss Man Wayne. And he said, I had to just sit down and just get it all the way down into me, the gut busting reality that if 70% of the people in this state voted for Donald Trump, it's statistically likely that that 70% includes 70% of organized labor in West Virginia. And the statisticians might quibble and say, well, I mean, but the fact of the matter is, a majority of organized labor had to have voted for Donald Trump. And this, in turn, opens up questions of how in God's name does a union member cast a vote for somebody, and not just Trump, but the Republicans generally, because remember, Republicans now hold a supermajority in this poor benighted state, in both houses of the legislature, delegates and the Senate. You gotta come to grips with the fact that a majority of your rank and file are voting against their own union. And have been for a decade or more. But especially since the Republicans took over the legislature for the first time in 83 years. And what was the first thing they did? They took away prevailing wage. Then they imposed right to work for less in this state. And it's not, it never does, it doesn't result in economic improvement. And so let's say that the AFL-CIO does call a general strike. Well, they'll be hailed into court almost immediately on allegations of violating Taft-Hartley, and injunctions will probably be issued, and that will call upon the national and international union leadership to say, sorry, boss, Mr. Judge, we're still striking. And that'll probably stick in states like New York, maybe PA, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. But does anyone realistically think that if the AFL-CIO calls a general strike, that the maggot rank and file of unions in this state will walk out? The carpenters and millwrights, the sheet metal workers, the pipe fitters, the United Mine Workers that are maggot through and through. Pay no attention to the background noises. Nix, the studio kitty, has joined the broadcast. What in God's name are you doing down there, cat? I don't like to think, but that's a real concern. And see, if union members keep voting like that, 70% for people like Donald Trump, Shelley Moore Capito, and the various pathetic geezers and grifters in our state legislature, pretty soon they won't have a union to belong to, and they'll be sitting there going, wait a minute, I used to make $35 an hour and I had health care. So, what Democrat took that away from me? Dumbass, you took it away from yourself. You gave it away. God almighty. So, yeah, you know, we started out laughing, and I'm sorry the funny went away, but it did. Quit it, Bob, says Arthur. You know racist electoral antics were single-handedly abolished by John Roberts with his magic wand. Oh, yeah, in McCutcheon. Oh, yeah, there's no more racist in America, said old Balls and Strikes Roberts. And David, South Carolina, Stan points out, the people, his owners, the people who own Donald Trump, want total chaos and destruction of the United States. That's why he was installed. So far, the plan is working perfectly. James in Illinois says, half, I saw 52 today, of all Republicans, 52%. Half of all Republicans, that's less than 15% of voters. Size matters. Yeah, but within the meaning of the racist anachronism that is the Electoral College, that's enough to fuck a country. It sure is. It sure as shit is. So thanks to everybody, we have taken what was a whopping fundraising goal down to just 380. And that's tremendous. No. 280. 280. Ciphering problems. That's even better. 280. 280 gets us even with the end of the day here now. Hey, that's a good reminder. Jeremy in Vermont says, good lawyer movies. How about the movie Philadelphia about the lawyer who defended AIDS victims? That is a good one. But it's the South, says James in Illinois. A union member in the South is going to worry about the Democrats taking his gun. I've seen both sides of it. Some of the best union men I've known were from the South. My dad was one of them. But memory is short, and if you weren't raised union and you watch Fox News, there ain't much hope for logic. My cold, dead hands, blah, 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 blah. And that's what Boss Man Wayne and I were talking about. That's one of the problems we still face. One of the best labor broadcasters, I would say the best labor broadcaster in the entire United States, is Rick Smith, and I call him, and I'm privileged to call him a dear friend of mine. And he scratches and he scrapes and he struggles every day, every week, every month, every year to keep the best labor-oriented radio program in the country on the air. And he busts his ass to expand his reach. And he is a tremendous talent. And he has to go begging hat in hand to get the necessary support to keep going from the very organizations that he is promoting and educating other people about. You know, I said to Boss Man Wayne, you know, all these apprenticeship programs in places like West Virginia, you know, they're 5 years long. They've got classroom requirements. The curriculum should be revamped. I mean, sure, if you're going to the carpenter's apprenticeship program, you're going to have some carpenter schooling, but there's got to be some time in there to teach labor history. And even to teach media savvy. So that they know better than to pay attention to Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Hannity, or Limbaugh. Jesus, that's some slow fucking lung cancer. Or any of the rest of these goddamn right-wing anti-worker goons. Because our side doesn't have a chance against something like that. how else do you get from a state like West Virginia, where labor people, union members would have rather eaten a handful of shit than vote for a Republican a generation ago, to now when 70% of them are reaching out going, no, I don't want to eat a handful of shit. I want two handfuls of shit, boss, and I want to eat, and I'm coming back for seconds voting for Republicans. God damn it. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you very kindly. That takes us down to 245. We're down to 220 now, thanks to George. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, George. We're getting close. We're getting close. Thank you. 220 to get even with the evening. Thank you so much. And I've got somebody on hold. I don't know who. And I'll go to the phones in a minute. But it's Thursday. We've got the Green News Report. And Brad and Desi give me a badly needed opportunity to remove a certain cat, gently, of course, from the studio. Hi, Brad. Hi, Desi.
November 19, 2020.
We'll begin to get that fleet of petrol and diesel cars off the road, beginning what Boris Johnson would call an electric revolution here in Britain.
UK accelerates phase out of gasoline cars to 2030. US car makers knew 50 years ago that burning fossil fuels causes global warming and lied about it. Trump Interior Department allows states to veto federal conservation projects. Plus, San Francisco changes building codes to phase out polluting natural gas.
All of those phase outs and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We have the technology to do it. They certainly have the technology to do it in the United States of America, and you can do it whilst delivering hundreds of thousands of new green jobs at the same time.
Thanks, Boris. Man, do I wish the U.S. had a conservative party that wasn't insane. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I think you're kicking us off today with some very good news. Climate change apparently is over.
No, sadly, not at all.
What?
However, October 2020 was only the fourth warmest October ever recorded.
See, it was the fourth warmest. It is getting cooler. Everything is fine.
That's according to both NOAA and NASA, based on record-keeping that began in the 1880s. But never fear, 2020 is still on track to clock in as one of the top two hottest years ever recorded, which is remarkable because there is a cooling La Nina weather pattern in the Pacific Ocean, and that has not slowed down 2020 at all.
Most of the years where we've had record heat, it's because we've had El Niños at the same time.
Right.
Now we have a La Nina cooling things down.
And it's not helping.
Oh.
In Washington, outgoing Trump Interior Secretary David Bernhardt has released a special secretarial order altering how the Federal Land and Water Conservation Fund is administered. Permanent funding for the program was finally passed by a bipartisan Congress and touted by Trump on the campaign trail to boost his environmental credentials. But Bernhardt's new order now restricts the funding that's available for conservation projects and effectively allows states to veto public land purchases, which critics say undermines the very purpose of the fund.
So he did it just for the election, and now they're undoing it?
Yeah.
How unlike them.
However, the New York Times reports that President-elect Joe Biden's transition team includes dozens of climate change policy experts who are already drafting executive orders requiring that every federal agency, department, and program prepare to address climate change, and that they are gearing up to legally dismember Trump's rollbacks of climate and pollution regulations.
All I heard was dismembering and Trump.
In other news, U.S. automakers GM and Ford knew 50 years ago that car emissions caused cause dangerous man-made climate change. That's according to internal company documents obtained by E&E News. But instead of shifting their business models away from fossil fuels, the two car giants spent decades and millions of dollars lobbying to undermine efforts to reduce emissions, funding climate science denier front groups, blocking efforts in Congress to improve fuel efficiency and make vehicles cleaner, and they even doubled down on gas-guzzling trucks and SUVs. The revelations mirror similar investigations showing how ExxonMobil executives also knew decades ago that their product causes global warming and also lied to the public and blocked action.
So they've been lying to us for 50 years, and now that we know the truth, we got an entire Republican Party that is lying to us about them lying to us.
But Britain has had quite enough of that. This week, Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced the UK will move up its planned phase out of internal combustion engine vehicles. Instead of the previous target of 2035, the UK will ban the sale of new gas and diesel cars starting in 2030.
Wow.
That is an ambitious timetable, according to Stephen Norman, managing director of Britain's Vauxhall Motors, in an interview with the BBC.
So, yes, it's a little bit tighter than we were expecting, but the plans are in place, obviously, to meet that. And meet it, we're going to have to.
You mean they're just trying to meet it because they have to, because the government said so? They're not whining and complaining and filing lawsuits and trying to throw Boris Johnson out of his job?
Exactly.
I am so moving to the UK.
It's part of what Prime Minister Johnson is calling his Green Revolution, to revive Britain's economy and create jobs through innovation to reach net zero carbon emissions by 2050. Finally, San Francisco is going all electric. This week, the city's Board of Supervisors voted to update building codes to eliminate fossil fuels in all new residential and commercial buildings beginning next June. New homes and businesses will run on all electric appliances, significantly reducing the city's contribution to greenhouse gas emissions, reducing indoor air pollution, and removing the danger of natural gas explosions.
Nice. Let the lawsuits begin. I'm still moving to the UK for their green revolution. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Good on you, San Francisco. Civilization. What a concept.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, we had a 500-pound, gallon, whatever, I forget. One of those great big humongous white propane tanks in the yard. I called it the bomb in the yard. And the thing always gave me the creeps. I was always afraid some trespassing deer hunter would mistake it for a deer and, you know, boom. Because I don't know what those things are engineered to. But here we are just shortly before the third hour of the program, and we got $220 in fundraising to go. Thank you to everybody who's jumped in so very much. Thank you. Trey with a reminder, and this is a fun lawyer movie. Liar, Liar with Jim Carrey. Good call. Good call, Trey. Note from Matt in San Francisco, curiously enough. Subject line, labor. Every retail company I've worked for has an extensive required union response training, along with in-house response teams that can show up at a moment's notice to any location where there's rumblings of organizing. To many young workers, the non-union training may be the only exposure they get regarding unions. It really is upside down. Yeah, and of course, the past masters at all of that is Walmart. They have a small army of lawyers. And at all times, there's, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. At all times, there's a Gulfstream 5 or a Learjet or something, you know, warmed up and idling on the tarmac in case somebody somewhere in the vast and evil Walmart empire mentions the word union, and boom, they're off. And even here in West Virginia, it was decided some years back that a worker does not have the right to not attend that mandatory anti-union bullshit. You have to sit through it. You are not. You may work for the company,
but you are not free enough to refuse to listen to miserable propaganda trying to convince you that you having a living wage is a horrible idea. So, absolutely, Matt. Thanks for that. Let's see. Another good lawyer, a few good men. Absolutely, Albert, absolutely. Teach, Bob, says Barbara. I often wonder if the coal miners who died fighting for safety regulations, decent working conditions, and pay are rolling in their graves. I saw a woman who said in an interview that her son's illness was the result of the pollution caused by mountaintop removal. Yet she didn't want stricter regulations because she was afraid the company might close. Hell, that's what I really call dying for work. Oh, you better believe it, Barbara. You better believe it. Remember, in West Virginia's mountaintop removal counties alone, not Kentucky, not Virginia, just West Virginia, we have 1,000 deaths a year related to mountaintop removal. And the poisonous shit that blows off of those godforsaken hellscapes, moonscapes. And, of course, next year will be the 100th anniversary of the March on Logan, which was a desperate and foolhardy attempt by labor to try to be treated as miners demanding to be treated as human beings. That's going to be a hell of an anniversary, considering that the union that they fought to bring to life in West Virginia has become a pathetic advocacy group for the worst of anti-working people policies, procedures, politics, law, and politicians. It really is. Jeremy in Vermont says, subject line, Walmart, the first training video they show is pure anti-union and the evil they are. And you're warned they can fire you if you talk about unions at work. At-will employment, baby. Everybody's equal. They can fire you for any reason or no reason. You can quit for any reason or no reason. But only one of y'all is going to starve if you do it. Anti-union, David in South Carolina stand, says, I worked at a place where employees were required to sign a statement that prohibited even talking about unions while employed there. It was grounds for immediate termination. It ain't just Walmart, y'all. Mm-mm. No, it's not. Hey, let's run over to the stress line, see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? You're there. Came to you.
Bob, how are you? Can you hear me? Bob, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I gotcha.
This is scary.
Yeah, hey, I thought...
What's going on, Bob?
Hell, you know, hanging in. How about
it's
you?
Been too long, man.
Been too crazy.
I got material today, Bob.
Bring it.
The first thing you have to do when you hang up the phone is sign up for Starlink. Starlink is a ultra-high-speed internet satellite. It's a must-see thing. Satellites are deploying. People are getting it in your area. Up and down.
In West Virginia?
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's $99. I think that's less than you're paying now.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah, now, I got you.
Reason I called, there are numerous. I think your son's bipolar, Bob. I really do. Because he lost his shit around the time most people with bipolar do. It's kind of like your brain is shedding. It's the best way I can explain it. My daughter had a nasty accident, which required surgery. I almost went crazy. And a couple of the people in my posse barely kept on to their shit. You out? You out?
I'm here.
That's it?
Yep.
Hold on. Anyways, the point is, that's what you got to look at.
Well, I presume the professionals are looking at it now.
Because crazy people, only crazy people use drugs. Remember that. That's your mantra. And if somebody's using drugs, there's a reason for it. Hopefully the legal system was not involved.
Not to the degree that it was a year and a month ago.
Well, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of breaching confidences and stuff, but we were pleased to find out that there was nothing bad in his screen.
Well,
and by bad, I mean, you know, meth, crack, opioids, the usual suspects.
When the time was right, coffee could make me cycle. So it really doesn't matter the substance.
Well, and there were circumstances, you know, stressors, social stressors, and
there's stressors like how's the convenience gig? I didn't hear you talking about that. And
that's been done for a couple of months. Yeah. They drove him so hard that the medications he was on, he couldn't even take him on a regular schedule because he couldn't have a regular work schedule. One day he's on the midnight shift.
Yeah, that's right.
The next day they have him work 18 hours because dude didn't show up. And the day after that, he's on the, midday shift.
That is very important, taking your medications that they're out at the same time.
Yeah.
And switching around. Here's a funny thing. My last moment, I mean, if I could put it into a episodic piece of television, of me at the hair club, a $1 billion hair replacement corporation, that doesn't really mean anything, it's just an interesting detail. Detailing that bipolar was me trying to throw the manager, who I liked his girlfriend and I didn't have any bad feelings about him, out a 20-story window. And I was growling like a dog. I had a head injury, so I had a psychomatic breakdown. Nothing made sense, and shit, only in the last 2 years things made sense. So I hope they turn that around. Hey, Bob, we get it. Bernie got elected. Actually, not Bernie, but Joe. Okay, we don't even know his name. Just the other guy, the cool white guy with the cool black chick.
Yeah, the not Trump guy.
Yeah, the not Trump. Hey, and you know what? He's already saying some presidential shit. I mean, if he goes Maury Povich, crying with the nurses for the next 4 years, I'm good, bro. That's my president. You feel me? That's my president.
Yeah.
When COVID blew up, I was thinking, if I was an evil super genius, what I would do right now is I would get some military trucks and some military guys and some tractor trailers with ATMs in, and to every neighborhood, I would just start handing out checks and with ATMs right in every neighborhood with trunk on the side. Tell everybody to stay home 3 weeks, lock everything down, print some Trump masks. We're not even having this conversation right now. We're having how the fuck do we do another 4 years?
Right. Check. Yeah. And I mean, there's some stuff, for instance, because I had the story a couple of nights ago, the governor of South Dakota, that horrible, no good, worthless woman, Kristi Noem, said, we will not be using any state funds to enforce any federal mandates relating to the coronavirus. So,
she needs to be bitch slapped so hard, Bob. You know, my problem with, I'm not a Democrat. All right. My voter roll was not scrubbed because I'm an independent. And in fact, if Antifa or BLM was an actual fucking party, I would join that because they got balls at least. Outrage over it. Why are we coddling these people? They didn't coddle us. They jammed an 80,000 vote victory across 3 fucking states up our ass for 4 years. And we had to take it and we had to smile and fucking nod and put one foot in front of the other. We had to listen to the inanity for 1,000 fucking days and see the stark just incompetence and just mutter to ourselves, my country, this too shall pass.
Yeah. Love my country. Love my country. But see, yeah, there's, yeah. There, there's, But, you know, I mean, there are some realities at work here. Can you imagine, for instance, and dear God, the howling from the little shit weasels like Charlie Kirk and Jacob Wohl and who's that other little incel? The could be heard. You know, you could be able to you'd hear it on the moon. But let's say Kristi Noem tries to lay down a marker like that. Joe Biden says, "Groovy. I am federalizing the National Guard of the state of South Dakota, and we're just going to block your borders. Nothing in, nothing out.
This whole thing is insane, bro.
No planes, no trains, no automobiles. No.
I've written science fictions in my head this year and gone, suppose this was a weaponized virus. Okay? Or even if it was, we're going total fucking Keystone Cops here. I can't fucking believe it. Suppose this thing had a 20% lethality to it. What the hell would we do with that?
Well, we'll have, by inaugural day, we'll probably have, we'll be at 500,000 dead. There's no reason not to think so.
We got off light, Bob. In fact, we did the best we could do, to be honest. You did the best you could do. Just putting it out over the airwaves, or the packets, as I like to call it, to ingest oregano or oregano oil in any form. They've actually done a study. It destroys the protein code of coronaviruses. It works,
but it hasn't. But you can't just go get them. You can't just go get the McCormick oregano in the grocery store. It has to be wild oregano,
whole food stuff. It has to be whole food shit around that level. I say this because you can catch the coronavirus again. I've had it for maybe 5 times. Form in little coronal patterns, taking your body over in your gut. And what the big thing that happens to people is your lungs get clear and your respiratory get clear, but your guts, your stomach holds down the infection symptom free. That's the asymptomatic part until your viral load builds and then boom. But fuck coronavirus. Keep your head up, eat a green diet, and keep the oils around. Thyme oil is another good one. And oregano oil, and just keep your head down. Stay away from the dumbasses. The Schadenfreude blast we'll be able to assimilate from this is guys that you met at the I don't know if you were at a Ripping Martin, where the fuck you were yesterday, and who wanted, you know, the bioterrorist, that motherfucker is going to die with a tube down his chest. Guaranteed fucking to you. I know you don't wish it on him, but you're not going to lose any sleep over it. You dig, bro? You can tell Agnes that, too. It's been the age of miracles, man. It's 72 degrees here, Bob, so I'm pretty happy. I'm wearing my Miami Dolphins shirt up in the wonderful Pompano. And I'm just a happy guy. And I want to thank you for the job you did this year keeping me sane. I don't know about anybody else, but the days you weren't at the mic, I was running around like a cat with 3 legs. And I appreciate you. You there?
I am.
Bob?
Yep, right here.
And psychically or karmically, the good fucking work you've done will be rewarded somehow in this life. Not the great beyond, but here in the here and now. How exactly? I have no fucking idea. But I feel
that's nice to know. That's nice to know, Jerry, because I'm kind of skeptical about the great beyond.
Don't be, Bob. In fact, in my universe, God fucks with the atheist once a day, just to, you know, just to make them wet their pants.
I mean, it's odd. You were talking about, you know, having had it and how miserable it is. Even as you were talking, a good friend of mine who, hallelujah, just tested negative. He had tested positive. He'd been sicker than shit. Texted me to find out, because I told him, I said, when you get to where you can taste stuff again, get yourself a big double serving at your nearby Thai restaurant of Tom Yum Soup Thai Hot. I'm a firm believer. That stuff will peel pain. Pardon?
What's it having it?
Oh, what God. Lemongrass, galangal, garlic, ginger, chili peppers from hell, fish sauce, red curry paste, you know, that blazing Thai red curry paste. And I think the base of it is chicken stock.
Here's the peppers in.
And there's onions and mushrooms and tomatoes and shredded cilantro.
And mushrooms are for also virus growth.
I'm
going to grow oregano this year.
I'm severely bummed out because the lady here who made it for me has closed down her restaurant and I can't get it anymore. So I got to learn how to make it myself.
That's terrible.
Oh, I was crushed.
That's terrible. You were telling me about the sandwich place.
Yeah.
I used to be a promoter on South Beach where I was the guy who said, hey, you want to say, hey, it was a quarter in your pocket. Come check this out. And it was great. I'm glad I did that before I died. That was amazing. The idea of all the little cool places that we would cross the country just to, you know, eat an ice cream at or eat a particular piece of chicken or the best french fries, those places closing, that's the type of shit that makes me sad. That didn't even have to happen.
Yeah, that's the shit that's going to be gone. McDonald's and Bob Evans will be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one of my desperate fears is when this is over, there won't be a decent place to get a street taco, but it'll all be replaced with Taco Hell.
You know, that may be an opportunity, though, and this may be a. Have you tripped across Beyond Burger yet?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen it at least?
No,
in your freezer section.
No, I'm. I think the only thing I know of is that, you know, improbable Whopper or whatever.
Have you tried that yet?
I did. It didn't suck.
You got to put some kind of sauce on it. That's the fake meat doesn't have the correct fat count. So you got to put some sauce on it, and that bridges the gap. Maybe even a squirt of olive oil. The fat's just not there. But I just had one today with some barbecue buffalo sauce from Chick-fil-A, and that they could have charged me $20 for that. It would have been great.
Oh, I'll remember that. I'll sauce it up next time. Because, I mean, it kind of tasted vaguely like a Whopper, and I think, you know, They cook it. They fry them on the same conveyor belt they do the burgers on, so you get some of that burger grease action.
You got to sauce it up, though. That's what's missing. Either that or the cheese. But it was tremendous. I don't know. There's so many things I've wanted to say on the show. Oh, okay. I'm gonna demo this on the show today. I came up with a punchline today. And everybody I've told just the punchline to has died laughing, but this punchline needs a joke. It's so good. I'm going to read it off my phone here. Okay. Careful. I'm going to tell Kamala, and Kamala will join your fucking house. Canyons are nice, but Jamaicans don't fuck around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of spots that could fit in.
Oh, yeah. I hope
she's the bitch we hope she is. I really do.
That's multi-use. No, well, I mean, right. That's why I keep talking about what's going on in Georgia. You know, I've said, you know, as long as Joe Manchin behaves like a Democrat, then a 50-50 tie results in Kamala Harris getting to look at that miserable little Confederate from Kentucky and saying, hey, Addison, sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. Nobody wants to hear from you anymore.
That's what needs to be done. We need the jar of shut the fuck up and beside the bucket of professional whip ass. People need to be prosecuted, by the way. Maybe not the Trump people, but some people, some of the outer vessels and satellites. I'm still not over the fucking mail thing, man. I was ranting online. I go, he broke. This is Democrats cheat. I go, Republicans cheat too. They're Democrats. just cheated better, and he won by 10 million points. Get out of here, you loser. What did I say? You loser death cult bitch. They hate that.
Well, see, going back to the Senate thing, I keep worrying about Joe Manchin fucking things up, but I think Kamala might just be enough of a badass that he's afraid of her.
We need that. We need something. This is all, I mean, there's 330 million people on the books and 60 million just kind of running around. 400 million people in this country. Because we didn't do a fucking census this year. Sorry to yell. So we don't know. Am I right?
Yeah. And I'm beginning to wonder if maybe a census redo might be in the cards.
Well, I think that's the first thing, Joe has to do. Hire a bunch of people too. Go low and slow. You know, a lot of people out there need jobs. And start there. And go hop the house and go, hey, how you doing with that COVID? Need anything? I think that would work too.
Yeah.
Lots of jobs.
Well, it's not rocket science, Jerry. We need people, you know, and you know, we probably need a countdown clock to say 12:01 p.m. January 20th, 2021, because that will be the moment when.
How old is your son?
That'll be the moment when deficits matter again. How old is he? He will be he'll be 25 in December.
Mine are 19, 20, 1, and 23. Kids need hope, Bob.
Yeah.
Fuck us. We're
going to have to be prepared.
When
deficits suddenly begin to matter to the Republicans again, we're going to have to be prepared to say, fuck the debt. People got no jobs. No. People got no money. Got to give them money. And I don't care how I don't care how long Miss Lindsay hollers about, well, they just won't want to work then if we pay them enough, if we just give them money. Well, you know, darling, you've been showing up in the Senate, and we just give you money, too. It ain't like you're working.
We need to clap back hard and talk shit and take names and call people out personally. And when they say stupid shit, make them break it down and explain it to me like I'm five. Seriously, there's not, and there's, you know, in addition to love my country, love my country, love my country, love my country, I've sang the song this year as well. If I only had one bullet, who would I kill? I go through a list, I go, Rush Limbaugh, I'm like, Mike Pence, no. Chuck Todd, no.
Well, Rush Limbaugh has that slow rolling cancer going for him.
It's a strategic game. You know, if you had one bullet to take it all out, what would you do? I think it'd be Rush Limbaugh. I don't know. I don't know. But as I was saying, the kids need hope. I've never seen, and I'm a people watcher, but these kids have, all they've had is the foot. 2008 to now. That's when things started getting better. Now we're doing this. And that's all I've heard them say online. The radicalization is the next step. If, you know, they don't have a Camaro they think they're going to buy, or a dress or a career or whatever. They, you know, dreams and hopes and even foolish things. Everything's been far too serious or far too fucking wrong. We didn't get a song in the summer or a dance or a fad or those delightful American things that we always do. Where we show the world we're having fun. When was the last time we fucking did that? We need to make the world want to be us again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. We need to redefine what it means to be American. And yeah, that goes back to what I was saying last night. We're going to have a need for mental health professionals when this thing is finally under control that we can't even contemplate. And I haven't seen that mentioned anywhere but, you know, by me. Maybe lots of other people have. I just didn't see it. But we're going to be up to our chins
in PTSD just in the healthcare community alone?
No, we already are. Everything's flying apart.
Right. It's like what our buddy Dave said last night. You know, the PTSD is TSD.
You know who has it harder than healthcare workers, Bob?
Who?
You know who has it, or maybe as hard as healthcare workers? Bus drivers. No, you don't hear anything from them.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Bus drivers,
yeah,
grocery bus workers. Yeah.
Bus drivers have to ride around a tube of coughing people, you know, 20 to 60 deep. Bus drivers. And
yeah, and it's not like they're being provided, NASA moon suits.
No. So we need to take a step into the 21st century, because we never really did it. We decided we're going to have a war about oil, which nobody will care about in 20 years, and burn trillions of dollars on it. We need to find out where all the PPP money went. I think that needs to be looked in as well. I'd like Cameron to look into that. And fuck it. Cancel all fucking school debt. I'm serious.
Oh, hell yeah.
These kids need houses and Jordans and cars and all of that shit. And doctors. We need lots of doctors. And if there's one thing I could tell Joe Biden is build a high-speed rail across the country.
Oh, God. Yeah, provide, I mean, that has been a progressive fantasy object for 40 years plus. You know, Amtrak was supposed to be that, but yeah, it didn't quite work out.
We didn't do shit. What have we done along that? And since then, you know, you could put solar panels and high speed and power and high speed internet on it, and nobody would have to be stuck where they are. If they needed to go see someone somewhere, maybe in 50 years they could. I'd like to catch a Joe to Portland myself, or whatever you call it. But yeah, if I could whisper in Joe Biden's ear one fucking thing, you know, keep him in there for 8 years and keep this democracy thing going, a train, we need to unite the country again.
Yeah.
And have a train is bubble piercing. You got rich people, you got poor people, you got everybody on the train. As long as you get your ticket, you get a ride.
Right, it's a beautiful thing.
Every time a Republican bitches, and you know, the other thing is, when somebody blew up some planes, nobody could go nowhere. I still remember that. We need a train across the country that goes at least 200 miles an hour that gets you from one side of the country to the other in 15 hours. I think that's good.
No, I think it's great. It's a magnificent idea.
And connect the country again. Lots of jobs. Please take another 20 years to do it.
See, you know, I mean, you know me. I'm the perspective guy, Jerry. And the way I look at it, we've been trading on our reputation with nothing behind it since approximately January the 20th, 1981. And
no, we'll nuke you. That's our thing. We'll come nuke you. Oh yeah, and they'll do it. They're crazy. All right, the Americans. But nobody. Yeah, we're not known for doing cool shit anymore.
I mean, I don't want to be a downer, and I'm proud that the Dragon X capsule made it off the ground and all the way to the International Space Station.
Actually, I've been following it like a crazy person. Makes me proud, man. I put up a
yeah, it, do, it does,
man.
But I got one thing to observe. Are those the nerdiest spacesuits we've ever designed?
They look like we didn't design them. That's a corporate spacesuit, Bob.
I know, and they look like crap.
Hey, they kind of, you know what they look like? They look like the Space 1999 spacesuits a little bit.
Well, I was going to say they and that would work in terms of the time frame. They look like leisure suits for space.
Actually, you know what? They look like spacesuits from a 1960s science fiction movie. Oh my God, that's what they look. But yeah, that's what they look like though. You're right. I'm not. You know what? The rocket ship that comes down with the fire coming out. That covers a lot of sins in my book, okay?
Oh, that's cool as shit.
That's G George Jetson shit. I love that shit. Like that every I'll just watch it on a loop because that's how spaceships would land. That's how they always landed on in the movies, right?
Oh yeah, you know they right? they dangle from the little fishing lines and they just come down and then they stop.
Fire coming out of them though, right? Yeah. So when to see it actually happen, you're like, there you go. It's not all that bad, man. We did it. Cool shit's about to happen. We'll figure this corona thing out. We'll figure out late stage capitalism.
You know what? I've got terraform now. I know this seems unreasonably optimistic, especially for me. But now that Dolly Parton's involved in the search for a vaccine, I have more confidence.
Yeah.
Because that woman makes shit.
I didn't even know, but I just saw it.
Yeah, that woman makes shit work.
I'm going to be first in the vaccine line because you don't really get immunity to this. You run out of immunity, I think, in about 2 weeks. Or it mutates enough that you're not really... I mean, it's not as bad the next time, but you still get sick. So whatever vaccine they come out with, I'll be in that line. But I just got to keep pushing forward. Oh, I'm throwing $5 on the table.
Oh, thank you.
Get it down to just as a tip. You don't even have to get on the pole or make me buy a drink. So there you go.
That's beautiful, sailor. That gets us down to 215. That's awesome. Thanks, Jerry.
I love all of you. Stay safe. Drink your water. And, shit, we did it. Take care of yourselves, guys. I gotta go home and take care of Carolyn.
You be good. You be good, Jerry, and give her our love, okay?
All right.
Later, my friend. Don't be a stranger. That's our pal Scary Jerry calling from deep in the wilds of Florida. It's always a good conversation when Scary Jerry calls. And, hey, we got about 30 minutes left in the program. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you're mighty welcome so to do. You can jump in on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. You can jump in on the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. Nurse in the Dakotas. Her name is Daring. James in Illinois writes, this nurse described people dying of COVID who, rather than FaceTiming with loved ones, went out arguing that they didn't have COVID because COVID ain't real, it's a hoax. That's what we're dealing with. You can't argue with people if you can't establish a baseline of what's true. They're operating with a totally different set of facts that aren't actually factual. When their deathbed confessions aren't factual, what do you say to them? Sorry you're dying? Say hi to Jesus for me. Yeah. It's like something I said a long, long, long time ago. If someone is discussing an issue with you in good faith, they have one position, you have the other, and you can actually debate it. On the other hand, if you say a pandemic is sweeping the country and we need a competent scientific response and we need to be able to shut down for 6 weeks so that we can beat this thing, and the other response is, you poopy head commie Rosicrucian fascist. It's over. There's no discussion to be had. There's damn sure no debate. And one of the most horrifying parts of the last 4 years is that yelling poopy head commie snowflake Rosicrucian fascist has become not just an article of faith, but it's damned well the secret password into the maggot lodge. And that means that however many hundreds of millions of people there are in this country, you've got to overcome a toxic plurality to fix things. And so we really do all need to be, those of us who are of goodwill, centrists, progressives, liberals, radical leftists,
we all got to be on the same page for at least a little bit if we don't want the country to effing die. Because this thing, as badly out of hand as it is, it can get more so. By a long shot. Or something else worse can come along. And that's the thing I fear most, the 1-2 punch. And in a way, we talked about that a little bit last night. The 1-2 punch of the opioid crisis, and then bang, this. Our healthcare system, and it was a 1-2-3 punch. It was denial of the Medicaid expansion, the opioid crisis, the entire medical system on its knees, this, and bang, a medical system that's no longer on its knees, but just in ashes on the ground. And it's not encouraging, but like Scary Jerry said, we did it. Now we got to make it stick. And I'm excited about the prospect of that. We got a list. But come January 20th, I hope we know what the immediate priorities are. Back to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
How are you doing, Bob?
Hey, Kirk, how are you?
This is Kurt up here in the North Dakota rampage. Here is the COVID-19 up here.
I recognized your voice.
Yes. No, it's getting pretty crazy up here. I suppose you've heard. The wonderful governor we have here, Doug Burgum, when he signed a directive to send nurses and doctors that are infected with COVID, to go back to work. thank you very much.
Yeah, if you're asymptomatic, you can go back to work.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. I couldn't remember if it was Burgum or Burgoo, and then I realized Burgoo. Yeah, Burgoo is actually an Appalachian stew made out of critters.
Is that right?
Yeah, Burgoo.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, he's from Fargo, but he's a big business guy. One of these Republican, big business. And he made his money off of, the computer industry. And I think he has like a Microsoft company too, down in Fargo. But he's been a prick. I mean, he just doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And what he does, Bob, up here is that he sends, he doesn't want to really do anything as far as like a directive. He sends it all back to the counties, to leave everything up to the county.
Well, see, not knowing what you're doing, Kurt, is actually it's the definition of the job description if you're a Republican. Being a Republican in government, not knowing what you're doing is how you do the job, because Republicans despise government for any purpose save for whatever it can do for them. It's just a trough, and the only thing Republicans want to do is first they got to get the front trotters in the trough, and then they got to work the back trotters in too, so nobody else can get in the trough.
Right. No, that's right.
But you got to be a little bit of an optimist, Kurt, because you're in North Dakota. You could be in South Dakota.
Well, that's very true. Yes.
And the woman that's running that state into the grave, Kristi Noem, is an active vector of the virus. She is personally making people sick.
Right. Oh, very much so. Yes. Yes. But, you know, we have an awful lot of crazies in this state here too. And this is why I pretty much, hold my own counsel here, because, I don't trust any of these people around here. I mean, they're insane. You know, they all think it's a hoax or, you know, and all this other, you know, craziness. So you have to kind of, you know, basically hide out almost. You know, you have to sort of like go underground.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to, and you got to watch who you say what in front of.
Right. Oh, very much so. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. You know, like, well, last night I went to the store real quick and I just grabbed just a few things and there was no one around hardly at all here in the evenings. And also like in the store isn't all that busy either. So I go in there kind of like in the evenings and then I just grab my stuff and out the door I go, you know. But I happened to run into a lady here that lives in my building. I don't know her all that well. I just kind of see her in passing and stuff. And of course I just want to keep on going, you know, but she'll want to, you know, well, she was wearing a mask and all, which was good. I was glad to see that she was wearing a mask and I was wearing a mask.
You take your victory in a place like North Dakota or West Virginia, you take your little victories where you find them.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. And, you know, but she was telling me how mad she was. She was trying to go to one of her granddaughter's, I think it was a volleyball game or something. And she said that something to do with, well, I have to go out, she said, because otherwise if I don't go out, I'll just go crazy. And then, of course, I didn't say anything. I just thought to myself, well, you know, you're better off if you just stay home. But I didn't say that. I just kind of kept on my merry way. I hopped in the elevator and I said, see you later, you know, basically. So, but yeah, it seems like people don't have patience. You know, they just, you know, they feel they have to be somewhere all the time.
Well, I think...
I don't understand all that.
If you look into, say, the theory behind modern child care and whatever, you can find,
right,
you can find a concept, Kurt, called overstimulated.
Oh, yes.
You know, you can stimulate a child so much that they just begin to vibrate and they can't focus and they can't settle down and they can't be still. That child is said to have been overstimulated. Well, it's not just children, Kurt. It's the whole country. And it's a significant, you know, I'd say from my generation down, overstimulated, because we've had a TV blaring in the background. You know, when I was a teenager, I couldn't go to sleep unless I had the radio playing.
Exactly. Right. No, I remember those days, yes.
And we are, I think it was Roger Waters who said that we are amusing ourselves to death.
Right.
There are things that happen to young people who just sit in front of their game systems all day long.
Right. Yeah, no, that's very true. But you know, it's not only that though, Bob. Well, I suppose maybe it is, but I've also have noticed so too now that I've gotten older too, it seems like the adults are even acting like children too. It's like, you know, I'm amazed, Bob, by how many people now that I've noticed that are our age or even older. And it's like they haven't gotten beyond high schoolish kind of things. And then, you know, and I'm really, really baffled by that. And they need to be entertained 24/7. It's like, oh my God. It's like, Jesus, what the hell's wrong with you people? I mean, like, but maybe it's because of my background is so different. You know,
I think you certainly have a somewhat unique background. There's no doubt about that. But it's the difference between external stimulation and cerebral stimulation, or the stimulation that comes from one's own imagination. You know, it's the difference between what you get by reading a book versus what you get by watching a movie. Almost without fail, whenever a book gets made into a movie, the people who've read the book, I'm sorry, I got the nicotine hiccups. The people who have read the book will almost without fail say, well, it ain't as good as the movie wasn't as good as the book. And no movie ever can be.
Right. No,
because your imagination, your imagination is not involved. It's been entirely supplanted by the imagination of the director and the actors.
Well, that too. Right. Right. Yes. Yes, that's right. And you know, that's very true. Yes. I mean, I know movies that were taken from the book that, you know, don't even match up, you know, with the book.
Right. Can't come close.
Right. No, right. Right.
This country would probably...
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But this country would probably be manifestly better off, or would have been manifestly better off, going through this pandemic if we were much more readers. Because I'm seeing complaints now about people saying, I think I've watched everything on Netflix and Amazon Prime in the last 8 months. And it may be true.
Oh, probably. Yeah, probably. Huh. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, we just got some breaking news you might find interesting, Kurt.
Okay.
The hand recount of 5 million ballots in Georgia has been completed. Joe Biden won Georgia by 12,284 votes.
Good.
The outcome was not changed. And Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger has announced that he will certify the election by Friday.
Well, good. 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 Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, we haven't seen much of Caligula here now lately either. But he sits and tweets all day and stuff.
Trump did pick up 1,400 more votes, but he still lost by more than 12,000.
Right. Jesus. Yeah, that's. I was just going to switch over here now to. That's good. It's just crazy. Do you think after they do certify this election that we're going to see some craziness out on the streets?
I hate to think it, but it almost seems unavoidable to me. I mean, now in places like where you and I are. Probably not,
right.
Because you know what are the maggots going to do? Riot against each other?
Each other.
But what the plan will be to foment violence and civil unrest in big democratic cities, and that goes hand in hand with the Reuters story that I mentioned earlier.
Well, yeah. Right.
So the people who should be looking for trouble are primarily, Philly, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Madison, Milwaukee,
yeah.
Phoenix, Las Vegas, and that is where the shock troops will be deployed. Just my prediction.
Right. Well, that makes sense. You know, Randy Rhodes just mentioned something. I kind of watch her every once in a while, but I happened to catch her show here today. I was working on a VCR today, and I happened to have her on in the background. You know, you're talking about stuff being on the background. Yeah, well, I had her on, and she was mentioning a couple of polls, and I don't remember the name of the polls, but they were saying, I can't remember the one poll, but they guarantee around 70% of violence that's going to happen once. I can't remember the poll, though. But you mentioned two polls, and there was one that registered like 70%, and then the other one was like 50-50, you know, chance of violence throughout, you know, certain areas of the country. Yeah. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, it's just nuts.
Oh, it is, and it remains to be seen how it because look, these dirtbags are these maggots, the Proud Boys, the Boogaloo Boys, and you know, they have no commitment to
no
decency.
No. Right. And not only that, Bob, but they don't even understand what the hell's going on.
No.
You know, they believe in all these, all these conspiracy, you know, nut things. Although I don't do Facebook or none of this stuff. So, I just don't see all of that stuff. But, you know, but of course I hear it. And then, of course, on our local radio here in Grand Forks, it's just complete nonsense. And the stupidity that goes on over the air, it's like, Jesus, it's just insane. Every day, Bob. And I'm sure you hear it, too, down there.
Oh, yes. I mean, there is no liberal media to be had in this state. I'm it. The end.
Right. Now, which is the closest city to you, Bob?
You mean in West Virginia or Civilization City?
Yeah, West Virginia.
The closest town of any substantial size is Beckley. The state capital, the state capital, Charleston, is about 50 miles away.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're kind of right in between there, then, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. It is. Now, is it all pretty much like where you're at? It's just maggots all over.
Well, I mean,
pretty much.
You got any? Let's put it. I mean, if you just go by the election results, any stranger you speak to, you've got a 70% chance you're speaking to a Trump voter.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much this way here too. Although they've always have said here that Grand Forks is probably the most progressive city. In North Dakota, that's what they say.
Yeah, but the problem is most progressive city in North Dakota would probably qualify as the 105th most progressive city in Massachusetts.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Yes. It's
I mean,
probably even farther from that, Bob.
I mean, sorry, but we gotta deal with some reality.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Yes. It's just crazy. It's just getting nuts. More and more every day.
I don't doubt it. And that's all the more reason for you to, you know, avoid the public for all you're worth.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, that's all I've been doing, Bob. That's all I've been doing. Just pretty much hunkering down because there's nowhere to go and stuff. And who wants to be out with anybody around here? It doesn't pay because you don't know. who has it and who doesn't have it. And then you see all the maggots running around with no face masks, although they mandated now, the face masks here in North Dakota. But you still see people not wearing them though, Bob.
I don't know if you caught the program yesterday, but I literally came face to face with it yesterday, and it was creepy and it was disgusting, and I'm still upset.
Right, right, right. No, I missed your show yesterday. I was going to listen to your podcast.
A maskless idiot coughed in my face.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Oh, Jesus. What, did you take him out in the parking lot and loosen some teeth? Or no?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to get any closer to him than I already was.
Right. Right. No, I'm just kidding. But, that's crazy. Jesus, Bob, where did that happen?
Oh, just a little Rippy Mart up the road.
Oh, I see. Jesus. Well, I haven't had that happen yet, but, that's crazy, Bob.
Yeah, it was nasty. Jesus.
Oh, I bet. Well, I bet you're kind of worried, too, a little bit. Jesus.
Still am.
Right, right. Well, did he just basically walk up to you and just cough?
No. It was a whole confrontation. He was standing on top of me as I was checking out, and I turned around and asked him to move and said, you need to put on a mask, bub. And
right.
It just got worse from there.
Oh, Jesus. Oof. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... No, that's insane. That's insane. Jesus. Well, you were talking about movies here, Bob. I'll let you go here, but I thought I'd just call in and just let you know here what's going up here in this crazy state.
Well, I appreciate it, Kurt. I always enjoy hearing from you, and I enjoy, and the community enjoys our conversations. So I'm really grateful.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy I enjoy the Horn family, and I enjoy your program very, very much. But there's a movie that I just ran across here, Bob, that I had on VHS tape, and I'm in the process of trying to get rid of some of these tapes, so I'm putting them onto DVDs,
yeah.
The digital. But I got so many tapes here, Bob. Now, don't laugh. I mean, this is old technology, of course, the VCR. I've been in the process now of trying to change everything over to digital. But, well, anyway, I came across a movie that I saw back in my early, early college days on campus. And this movie came out, Bob, and I think you will like this because I know you like the language. And this is a British film that was made in 1982, Bob. And
okay.
It's called The Draftman's Contract.
I've never heard of it.
It was made by, it was made by Peter Greenaway. Now, he was the guy that made the movie The Thief, The Cook.
His wife and her lover.
The Cook, The Thief, and the... Yes, that's the one. Well, he made a movie back in 82 that was called The Draftsman's Contract. And it's a period piece. But it is not dull at all, Bob. It's a great film. In fact, Bob, I would put it in my top five of Well, of the 1980s films, it's that good. And I know you like language. And the English in this movie is very, very baroque. And it's also very, very precise. So you really have to listen to what's going on, or otherwise it'll just kind of like zoom over the head. It is very, very funny, but very strange. That's all I'll say. But if you can find, I don't know if it's on Netflix. I don't have Netflix, so I don't do Netflix. But I think you might be able to find it on YouTube. But it's a hoot, Bob. You'll love the film. And it's very artsy-fartsy, if you like artsy-fartsy kind of film.
Oh, I've been known to enjoy that, yes.
Yes, and it's a riot, Bob. You would love the film. And I saw it over the weekend because I didn't realize that I had, that I had recorded it on VHS. So I watched it last weekend and I thought, Jesus, I haven't seen this since the early 80s. But I recorded it back in the early 90s. Jesus, Bob, I've been going through these tapes. I got concerts. I got documentaries. And of course, I forgot to write down on the box of the cassette tape what the hell it was, you know? And Jesus, I've been going through this treasure trove of stuff. It's like, oh my God, didn't know I even had this.
Yeah, it's a video Easter egg hunt, isn't it?
Right. Yes, very much. Well, Bob, I probably got about 6 or 7 boxes full of tapes here.
Holy cats.
This is insane. And I got stuff, from the late 80s through the early 90s and through the 90s. In fact, I found a concert of Roxy Music in Paris.
Holy cow.
And I recorded
that'd be
that
awesome.
Off of Showtime back in the early 90s.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yes, it's just crazy. But that's a film that I thought you might like, Bob.
The Draftsman's Contract, right?
Contract, right.
Okay.
Right, Draftsman. Yeah, the D-R-A-U-G-H, what is it, Drafts?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Draftsman's Contract. And it's with Anthony Higgins or Huggins, and he plays the draftsman to the nines, Bob. It is so fantastic, this film. You would just love it. I know you would love it.
All right. It's on the list. Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it.
Yes, you betcha. Well, I'll let you go, Bob. And nice talking with you. And nice.
Oh,
nice
it's always
hear
great hearing from you, Kurt.
There.
Stay safe and stay warm. I mean, I complain about cold down here, but I guess it's coming your way now.
Well, Bob, we haven't had it too bad up here. 2 weeks ago here, Bob, we were in the 70s. But now we are, we're starting to cool off, and we're supposed to get some freezing rain and a little bit of snow here now tonight. So I'm glad I went to the store last night so I don't have to deal with ice and snow.
glory to that. Kurt, you take care of yourself, my friend.
Okay, you too, Bob. Take care, and nice talking with you. And,
always
and
good
we'll
talking
talk
to you.
Again sometime.
All right, stay safe.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Kurt calling from North Dakota. Oh, I bet that is a treasure trove of video. And all of them are unlabeled, so you never know he doesn't know what he's going to get with each one that goes in the machine. That's just cool. So here we are at the end of the program. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. It started off weird, and so those are some of the most enjoyable ones. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to Colin and Darlene for your challenges. Thanks to everybody who responded to them. We closed the program at 2:15 to go, and that'll make us at 5:15. 5:15 for tomorrow. And hopefully that's not too much of it. Well, it'll be a community-made miracle for Friday on the front porch. I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be on the air, but I've got a doctor's appointment at 9 o'clock in the morning, so there will be a radical wallatectomy taking place.
but I should be here at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, no problem. Thank you all for your subscriptions, PayPal and Patreon, your a la carte contributions via during the program and by the overnight crew. Thank you all so much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to everybody who wandered by and chatted in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Glad things are going better for you, Gene. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight or Eastern Standard Time. The best place to listen to the live run of Malloy is at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And I've got an environmental justice story that maybe I'll get to tomorrow. I hope so. It's another one of those that kind of make you kick furniture. A lot of furniture getting kicked around here these days. And I've got a story about, as well, about one of the, a place where COVID is burning. And it's just, it's all heartbreaking, but some just seems worse than others. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. The best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you can't stay home, limit your trips out. I saw a story earlier this evening that the state of California has imposed a no overnights limitation. And it's not like we're trying to ruin anybody's Thanksgivings and Christmases. Instead, it's more like responsible governments are trying to make sure that this is, that while this may be a fucked up Thanksgiving and Christmas and et cetera holiday season, that there will be more and better afterward instead of people being dead for, you know, dead for a turkey. Yeah. So anyway, if you have to go out, you know, wear your mask. Try to get as good a mask as you can get. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Take it with you everywhere you go. And remember, if you can't get alcohol, you can't get hand sanitizer, you still have a liquor store, and you can go and get a bottle of 150-proof grain alcohol, and that's as good a hand sanitizer as there is. Put it in a little spray bottle and just squirt your hands. Rub them together, etc. Maintain your social distance. That's not 6 feet. That's 10 or more. Better 12, 13, 15, if you can do it. And above all, if somebody comes towards you saying, just use the normal one, avoid that person like the plague. Yeah, because they are. Later, y'all.